You're tuned into Building a Greener Idaho, your weekly public affairs program here on Radio Boise, having conversations at the intersection of people, place, and profit. Through the month of February, we're having conversations about fire with all the ice and snow on the hills. We thought we'd warm it up. I'm your host this week, Remington Beyer, and I'm joined in the conversation with Tyre Hofeltz of the Department of Lands and his compatriot, Karen Lamb, also of the Department of Lands. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Tyre, I wanted to start with you. I see here your title is Community Fire Program Manager. What does that mean?
What that means is that I work with communities and counties throughout the state of Idaho to identify, plan for, and address wildland fire risk. I also help with facilitating the planning process as counties and communities go through that and identifying, working through, and mitigating fire risk here in Idaho.
Assisting with the planning process. So I can imagine you're working with a lot of rural communities where there's not a large planning staff. And so are you directly engaging with counties in Idaho and helping them prepare wildfire emergency preparedness plans?
I do engage with counties throughout the entire state. So I oversee the program for the state of Idaho. And that means that I have an opportunity to work with both rural and very highly urbanized counties here within Idaho. And yes, I do engage with them on a very regular basis in that effort to develop what are known as county wildfire protection plans.
What is a county wildfire protection plan?
It is a document that has a little history behind it. Began in 2001 with the Healthy Forest Restoration Act and was adopted by all the states in the West to help establish direction for communities, agencies on how to address wildland fire risk issues within whatever geographic or agency jurisdiction that may be of importance to communities or counties.
And there must have been plans prior to the Healthy Forest Restoration Act, or what's different with the county wildfire protection plan?
In 2000, we had a very high fire frequency year, and there were a lot of homes that were damaged in that particular year, which our national legislature felt needed to be addressed. And that's where the Healthy Forest Restoration Act came from. Huh. And it's a whole collection of other policies, rules, and regulations, and this is just a small sliver of that whole act.
Gotcha. So there's more than just wildfire protection, but healthy forest planning activities.
Absolutely.
And then with respect to the community wildfire protection plans here in Idaho, what is within one of those plans, and how do you help communities to develop and maintain those plans?
The plans here in Idaho are all based at the county level currently, and those plans contain information that describes a county. It has information about what the wildfire risk is through a modeling exercise, generally speaking, and they define what's known as the wildland-urban interface, or we call it the WUI, and that is a place of intermix or intermingling of development and wildland fuels. It is also a document that contains mitigation actions and education activities that can be engaged with and by partners to address wildland fire in the county. So that could be anything from removing and trees and brush around communities to educational types of events to reach citizens on helping them better understand what wildfire is.
And Karen, perhaps that's a segue for us to have the discussion about education. So is this how you're assisting with community wildfire protection planning in Idaho?
Yes, a big part of my job is working with communities that are working towards becoming prepared for wildfire. There's an organization, FireWise, that has a recognition program for such communities, and those communities go through several steps and sign up, and they agree to do at least one event a year. And in the beginning, that might be an educational event to educate each other and have the leaders of the communities group educate the rest of their, oftentimes it's an HOA, a homeowners association, about what the concerns are and why they're doing this. And then hopefully in future years, they'll switch from education, which is a wonderful first step, but on to the next step, which is fuel mitigation, getting rid of that overgrown brush and so forth.
Right, right. Okay, so fuels is an interesting term, and I understand it to mean anything that can ignite. Is that too simple a term, or is there a very specific definition of what constitutes a fire fuel?
That's a good definition. Anything that would ignite.
Anything that's not man-constructed, or like, are homes considered a fuel if you're in the WUI? Is your house a fuel?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Homes become very large sources of fuel. Think of all of the wood and plant material that's in homes. And then you add to that the landscape around the homes, and there's a lot. Plus, if you think about it, a lot of the common landscape plants like juniper and arborvitae are very flammable. So we've brought into our what's called home ignition zone, the area around the home that we try to protect, we've increased the flammability by adding plants that are flammable.
Mm-hmm. Right, so if I'm in the WUI, chances are it's better for me to plant daisies and tulips than sagebrush or some kind of desiccated pine.
Sagebrush is another one that's extremely flammable. So yes, that's definitely one to keep away from. But it's not to say that you can only plant daisies and tulips. That's actually a myth that a lot of people have, that that FireWise homes have to be, their yards have to be barren and the homes have to be brick. That's not the case. There's a lot of things you can do to make your home fire, what we call fire wise. And there's some wonderful places that people can go to find out information about that. One is the organization I mentioned earlier, firewise.org is their website. There's also idahofirewise.org, and something closer for those people in the listening audience is Boise Fire. They've done quite a lot to help mitigate fires. They've established a wildfire mitigation team since the 2008 Oregon Trail fire. They've done a lot to improve the situation, so something like that hopefully won't happen again.
Oh.
And they've got a great website. You can go there as well.
So that's the City of Boise's Fire Department?
Yes.
So Remington, if I could add, I think that a great place that the residents that are in the Ada County area have some really good places they can go to look at what kind of vegetation they can put on their property. At the old Boise Jail, which is out west of, or the correctional facility, excuse me, which is out east of Boise there, they have the FireWise gardens that give a great demonstration of a variety
Beautiful.
Of plants out there. Yeah.
I'm glad Tyra brought it up. It's a wonderful illustration of exactly what I was saying, that FireWise homes do not have to be barren.
I'm curious. I remember when I was looking at the garden the last time, the FireWise garden, that is, the last time that I was at the botanical gardens, and it seemed to me that a lot of the plants that I then suspect are less susceptible to igniting are drought-resistant plants. They're drought-tolerant plants. Is that
right?
Correct?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct. They're drought-tolerant, They also are low in resins and sap. Pine trees, evergreens, have sap in them, of course, and just the same thing that gets on your clothes, that's very flammable, and those trees just torch. So better to have deciduous trees. It's not to say you can't have trees, but deciduous trees are much less flammable than evergreens, and you'd want to have your evergreens at least 100 and more feet away from your home, and thinned out for the, you know, there for a while, distance from that too.
So not only are you helping to fireproof your house, but you're lowering your irrigation bills as well by planting less water-intensive plants. So it's a win-win both ways.
Right. Xeriscaping, in fact, is one way to do it, if you'd like to go that way.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Building a Greener Idaho here on Radio Boise, where every Tuesday at 3 p.m. we're bringing you conversations at the intersection of people, place, and profit. I'm your host this week, Remington Beyer, and joining me in the conversation is Karen Lamb and Tyre Holfeltz from the Idaho Department of Lands. Tyre and Karen both work as wildfire prevention, education, and planning specialists. And we are going to take a quick break, but we're going to return to the conversation after these brief messages. You're tuned into Building a Greener Idaho here on Radio Boise, where every 3 p.m. on Tuesdays, we're bringing you conversations at the intersection of people, place, and profit. This month is all about fire because it's so cold out there. And I'm your host this week, Remington Beyer, and I'm speaking with Tyre Holfeltz, who is the Community Fire Program Manager for the Idaho Department of Lands, and Karen Lamb, who is the Fire Education and Outreach Planning Specialist. And we were just talking about what constitutes a fireproof home, or how to do better fireproofing around the home. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about is, so first and foremost, often we're talking about fireproofing homes in the wildland-urban interface, or the WUI. Karen and Tyler, is the WUI fairly stable in Idaho, or is it growing? Do we have more homes that are going into the urban, wildland-urban interface?
There's more homes going into the wildland-urban interface, or WUI, all the time. Right in the Treasure Valley and outlying areas is an example. Just think about all the new growth in the Boise foothills. And Boise isn't unusual. It's happening everywhere, all across the state, all across the country.
And why is that? Is it a natural corollary with just cities grow, and so they're growing into the WUI, or is it because it's desirable to be amongst the foothills and the trees? Is there anything that, apart from what the Department of Lands is doing, but cities and counties can do to try and better manage growth in the WUI?
That's actually a good question. And what you said is exactly right. It's both of the things that you said in terms of the reason for the growth into the WUI. Where else do they go? Because growth is happening everywhere. But also, a lot of people enjoy that close to nature feeling that they get by living next to the wildlands. So it's, the growth comes from there as well.
I'm going to add in here that I've been working on a project with the University of Idaho and Boise State University and faculty staff from there. And in that report, we cite that only 14% approximately of the wildland urban interface in the West has been developed. So there's a great potential for continued expansion into the wildland urban interface. So those areas that yesterday were wildland urban interface may be the urban centers of tomorrow. So it's an ever expanding area that we will be grappling with until there's basically no more land to develop.
So then, Tyre, you mentioned that in your work assisting communities with the county wildland fire protection plans, what mitigation activities can be undertaken? What best practices do we already know of here in Idaho that cities can undertake as they grow into and increasingly occupy the wildland urban interface?
So cities themselves really have two tools available to them. One is through the policy or legislative side, so the adoption of codes and ordinances, and the other would be through incentive-based programs such as FireWise and the Idaho FireWise program, which are education-type programs, but they also serve as catalysts for action items, so the adoption of those types of programs to help citizens understand. You know, there's a myriad of examples that can be found here in Idaho and throughout the West of codes that have been written and adopted that address many of the issues that occur with the expansion into the wildland urban interface. But here in Idaho, it's really hit and miss.
Okay.
And actually, if I could add, in addition to codes, we also need a change of the way that we see fire and that we work with fire. We need to coexist or live with fire better. And by that, I mean accepting that fire is a natural part of the landscape. It plays a very important role in nature. For example, it returns nutrients to the soil. And IDL even uses fire to help manage forests and rangelands. We use carefully prepared prescribed burns outside of fire season to help keep the amount of fires or the amount of fuels from getting out of hand. So that's a part of seeing fire differently. We need to accept that it's here and it's a part of nature. And there are many measures that people in existing homes take to make to prepare their homes for wildfire, but we need to go beyond that by improving our very approach to development and land use planning. And a big part of that is deciding where to build to minimize wildfire risk in the first place.
And I can imagine too, as you put it, Karen, learning to live with fire, meaning that if and when fire may occur in a neighborhood, a community that is in the WUI, then evacuation routes and transportation planning so that putting out the fire doesn't become the primary goal, but instead getting people to safety and then allowing for a barrier, a defensible space therein.
That's right. Exactly.
Yep. And the county wildfire protection plans, to a degree, address these exact items. But we can go further than that at a local community level. Again, I'm going to point to the project that I've been working with the University of Idaho and Boise State University faculty with, that we really desire a greater local ownership of wildland fire so that people have a better understanding and will then engage in activities that increase the probability of, one, structure survivability, and two, increase the safety of them as homeowners and landowners, but for responders as well.
And to add to that, some of the FireWise communities that I mentioned earlier, some of the fuel mitigation work that they do and preparation that they do is to, for example, improve their ingress and egress into their communities. And that, the really wonderful thing about these communities is their, a lot of their work is not, I'm doing this work to save my home. It's a community coming together, working together to improve the wildfire risk for their entire community. Mm-hmm. Because actually, if you think about it, if one home burns, they all have a much greater chance of catching on fire as well. So it isn't each person for themselves. It's definitely a community concern.
That's interesting. That's really intriguing. It's like community building through disaster planning.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, our disasters are what often bring people together.
There you go.
But
yeah.
Here is disaster planning, which is much more positive.
Is there a federal emergency management agency, a FEMA hazard mitigation component to the wildfire planning process?
There is. It's at a county level that trickles down to the municipalities, and it's done through a document called the All Hazard Mitigation Plan, which is managed by the county emergency manager or an equivalent type position in each county here in Idaho. So all 44 counties have a all-hazard plan, which tiers to a state all-hazard mitigation plan as well. Fire is an element in each one of those plans, and we're working very hard to integrate elements that we talk about in the county wildfire protection plan to address those same things in the all-hazard plans.
Okay. With respect to wildfire and fighting wildfire, and with respect to FEMA, how much wildfire fighting activity in Idaho is undertaken by the Department of Lands or funded by the Department of Lands, or is that a different jurisdiction?
Well, the Department of Lands, or IDL, protects and conserves over 6 million acres of private, state, and federal forests and rangelands throughout Idaho. We don't directly protect structures, but by preventing and suppressing unwanted wildland fires, IDL helps keep wildfire from reaching homes.
Does IDL have a firefighting crew, personnel?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a very large part of the Department of Lands. There are several different bureaus within the Department of Lands, and the Fire Bureau is one of them.
Gotcha. Tyer, with respect to the research and the work that you've been doing with researchers at Boise State and University of Idaho, what comes next? What are you looking to investigate further, and what new products are going to be developed?
So we have worked to create a planning guide. It's a compilation of best management practices for the development of community-based wildfire protection plans. And it is a compilation of information from the research, from past activities, that boils down into really four elements of regulation, implementation, and revisitation, and they all center around a central topic of what's known as the cohesive strategy. Now, what is the cohesive strategy? It's the direction of the national effort in the United States to address wildland fire, and it's all surrounded by education. So what is it that we want to do with this? We want communities to engage and create plans that they can then implement to address wildland fire risk and mitigate that risk for themselves. What does that mean for the typical individual? You need to engage. It's not just a fire department issue. It's not just a land management agency issue. It's your issue as well, and that's what we need your input on, is because you have as much value in the process in creating those plans as what I'll call the technical experts, so all the fire type folks, emergency management type folks that are out there, but they don't live where you live.
Mm-hmm. And then, so with respect to that, then, you know, getting people engaged, one often wonders, are we doing everything we can currently, or are there any improvements that can be undertaken, technological or educational? Is there any low-hanging fruit for what you see in the near future of how to better plan and protect against wildfires in Idaho?
I think there is some low-hanging fruit. The technology side, I think, is really well utilized from the various organizations that use it. FireWise, Idaho FireWise, we have websites that have blogs, there are tweets, there are Facebook accounts. You can find all kinds of information in the technological sector. However, what I think is some of the low-hanging fruit that we can address is that there's always somebody interested, and we need to not ignore them and engage with them. at whatever level they're seeking to be engaged with. If that means just having a conversation or having a risk assessment completed on their property so that they know what their fire risk is, to I want to be engaged in the planning effort. So how do I get engaged? Who are the right people to talk with? You know, it's that personal communication that seems to go the furthest, and we find ourselves working on the little things instead of focusing on, you know, it's the forest for the trees idea. Can I see the forest or can I see the trees? Which one is it that I want to focus on?
Right. If that person's listening right now to this conversation, if they're thinking, hey, I'd like to do a FireWise evaluation of my property and learn how I can do more, where would you direct them to go? Or how do they get that information that they need?
I would ask them to go to, if they're within the Boise Fire Department protection area, that they can go to that department or any of the other surrounding departments that are like the Boise Fire Department and ask them to come to their home and do a risk assessment. Many of these departments are well-educated and well-suited to do that. They've had lots of practice in doing so in the past. If you're in a more rural setting, you may want to approach the emergency management office within your county and see if they have any services available to you for that.
Great.
And Tyra was talking about Boise Fire. A good way to find information about that, I encourage people to Google Wildfire Mitigation Boise Fire, and you can get to their resources there.
Fantastic. We are coming to the end of our show today, but before we go, Tyra and Karen, thank you both for coming on. Is there anything that we didn't have a chance to touch on that you'd like to communicate to our listeners?
I think it's important for people to know that they can make a difference, that the value of their participation can not be measured in the results that come in the future. So please engage.
That's right. FireWise techniques do work. It's been shown scientifically. We see it in real life situations. Every little thing you do could be the thing that makes a difference. And it is your responsibility. Because fires are now larger, hotter, and faster than ever before, fire departments don't have a chance of being able to save every home in every fire, especially the large conflagrations. And I'd like to add one other thing. The cost to prepare for wildfire is nothing compared to the cost of the losses that you'd experience if you lost your home.
Penny wise, pound foolish.
That's right.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for coming on Building a Greener Idaho today. And we'll certainly need to revisit the conversation in the future when there are updates to the research that Tyra is undertaking, or when we have more to discuss about how communities, cities, neighborhoods, and homeowners associations throughout Idaho are further planning and combating and preparing for the eventuality of fire in their jurisdictions. Thank you, Karen and Tyra, for coming on.
Thank you for having us.